So my name is Rebecca Alleen. I am a physician. I'm also a recent graduate of the University of Southern California's Master Health Administration program. My solution for physician burnout was to go back to school. So what I'm sharing with you today is some of the work that I did in one of my graduate school classes on physician attitudes on the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services Bundled Payment Initiative Program. I'd like to thank Dr. Tom Collins, who is my advisor on the project. Disclosures, I'm employed by the Southern California Permanente Medical Group, just the southern branch of Kaiser. Thank you. So what did we do in this project? We basically did a survey on the four bundled payment initiatives. Physicians were surveyed on the four models of care that are being studied by the CMS Innovation Center. And we wanted to find out how physicians would modify their clinical actions under each model. The survey asked physicians for comments on their most and least favored model of care. Our survey was distributed to 64 physicians in Southern California, and 22 completed the survey, so it is hard to get us to answer questions. Why do physician actions matter? As you can see, we drive a lot of costs in healthcare systems. Our inpatient stay can range from $1,170 in Wyoming to $3,154 in the state of Washington. We also spend billions on Medicare Part B drugs. And as the people who order diagnostic tests, we have to be aware that the 12 most common diagnostic tests cost over $6.8 billion annually. Under payment bundling, if the target price of care for a specific DRG or diagnosis-related group is not exceeded, the providers, including the physicians, share in the savings with their healthcare system. So our question was, will exposing physicians to some financial risk change their action patterns and help lower costs? Who were our responding physicians? 100% of them held an MD degree. They were all allopaths. 20% were in primary care. 80% were specialists. And 80% had been in practice between 5 and 20 years. 40% were in independent practices, that is either solo or small group, and 60% were employed, much more common in California. Of our physicians surveyed, about two-thirds were familiar with the CMS Bundled Payment Initiative. So I'm just going to present slides with a brief summary of what each model is. These are this is the information we presented to the physicians at the time. It has changed slightly as the program has been modified. So model one of the program features retrospective payment, and it covers the acute hospital care episode only with a 30-day post-admission global period. How would our physicians change their actions under model one? 51% stated that they would alter their pre-admission management to lower costs. And there was about an even split on whether docs would change their inpatient diagnostic testing. 41% disagreed with that, and 45% agreed, which hopefully means they would continue their diagnosis in the best way for the patient, regardless, with some thought to cost, but with the patient's care as the forefront. 59% did state that they would decrease the acute length of acute hospital length of stay. So what was the commentary that they gave? They were allowed to give some free text answers. Physicians generally stated that they felt they had more control over the usage cost under Model 1 because it covers the inpatient period only. Some of the con opinions, there was concern that there was no consideration of outpatient-related manifestations, since this is where a lot of our complications come up. Readmission is a big problem. And also that it might negatively affect clinical decision-making because the risk burden for the cost is primarily on the physician under Model 1. Model 2 also features retrospective payment. It does include the acute hospital stay as well as a defined post-discharge period, and that post-discharge period is 90 days. Our physician action changes under Model 2, 51% of the responding physicians stated that they would change their outpatient management to lower cost. And again, 63% stated that they would decrease their inpatient length of stay. Some commentary on Model 2. There was thought that it covered the post-discharge cost, which is important. If you're trying to get the patient out of the hospital earlier and you don't have coverage for that aspect of care, then there may be some hesitancy to send those patients home. There was concern that having non-physician entities involved in the post-discharge care and sharing in the cost would affect the total cost of care and might make it more difficult to stay under the target price. Also, since many complications occur post-op, depending on your acuity level, the risk level of the population you're working with, there's an opportunity to absorb a lot of complications and therefore financial loss as the cost of care goes up. Model 3 was also retrospective payment. It features post-acute care only, and it did include Medicare Part B drugs, so we did ask our physicians about this. The post-acute care period ranged from 30 to 90 days monitoring under this model. So most of what we asked in this section was related to Medicare Part B drug prescription. Only 9% disagreed with the statement, "I would modify my drug choices in the post-discharge period." So about 90% either agreed, strongly agreed, or had no opinion, which I presume meant they weren't willing to call it at this point, about lowering the cost of their Medicare Part B drug choices. And 54% agreed that they would modify their drug choices under Part B. So 54% agreed, and then a minority either stated strongly agree or declined to state at that point. Some commentary on Model 3. By focusing on the post-acute care period, it puts the least financial strain on the physician so she or he can treat without focusing on financial constraints. Now, Model 4 was to me the most interesting because rather than paying on the back end, there is a prospective payment, presumably paid to the health system, which will then distribute to the physicians. This model covers the acute care episode only, and the care ends at discharge, so there's no global period to be concerned with under this model. Under Model 4, 51% of our physicians stated they would change their inpatient diagnostic ordering patterns to lower cost. And again, about 59%, we've been in the 59 to 60% range, stated they would decrease their length of stay. The commentary on this model was rather interesting. Some of the con opinion, by relying on the hospital to make a payment to physicians, there could be some risk if the physicians are a separate business entity rather than employees of the hospital or healthcare system. And in California, none of us are employed by hospitals under law. We're all under separate medical groups. So I think there is some anxiety about how the finances would be distributed if the physician group is independent of the hospital. Some of the pro opinions were interesting. Many physicians stated that the idea of getting paid prospectively is appealing because now if they're working in a fee-for-service environment, we've got different payment levels for different payers, not certain how much you're going to get and when you're going to get it. So being paid up front, some of them stated, would create less concern about cash flow. And also, some of the primary care physicians stated that this model would incentivize preventive care and improve disease management the best by paying the physicians up front and encouraging them to keep the patients healthy. So in summary, under Model 1, our physicians perceived more control over their risk, mainly due to it being the acute care period only. Under Model 2, including the post-discharge period and non-physician providers, many of our doctors felt that the risk was spread across too many providers in this model. Model 3, which is our post-acute care period only, there was strong agreement on changing prescribing practices for Medicare Part B drugs, which are very high cost at this point. And under Model 4, there were concerns about who controls the distribution of the prospective payment, but the prospective payment was also appealing to some as it might eliminate cash flow concerns if there was some knowledge of how much money one would be paid up front. That pretty much concludes my talk. Again, this is our group of 22 physicians in Southern California. So I'm imploring you to go out and wherever you are locally, ask your doctors if you're considering implementing one of these programs. Be sure you get your medical staff involved and not just the top guys. Look at the people whose names are popping up frequently on the call schedule who are down there in the trenches. Okay, thank you.